CyberWorks Podcast. Learn anytime, anyplace.
Welcome to the fourth edition of the CyberWorks e-learning podcast series. My name is Mary Kay Laferno, and I'm the Director of Marketing here at CyberWorks, and I'm your host today. In this mini-series, we will be providing an overview on e-learning accessibility with some background on the American Disabilities Act, Section 508, W3C, Accessibility Guidelines and their Priority 1, 2, and 3 checklists, Flash Accessibility, Accessibility Testing, and various free accessibility test tools available on the Internet. This mini-series is meant to be a basic primer for training managers and human resource professionals not familiar with the subject of e-learning accessibility. It is in no way meant to be comprehensive. While many companies use a combination of subject matter experts, instructional designers, web developers, and others to construct their online training courses, we felt that it is also important that training managers and human resource professionals have some understanding of these concepts so they know the right questions to ask as they manage their training programs. We will only provide information or discuss the ADA and Section 508 as it relates to e-learning accessibility. Since we are not experts on federal law, nor have any specific knowledge of your company's business parameters, we ask you to talk with your legal department in terms of any requirements you or your company may or may not be under as a result of the American Disabilities Act, Section 508, or any other guidelines we discuss in this miniseries. Of course, there's a lot of great detailed resources out there on the web for you on this subject, and we will do our best to provide some of those for you throughout this series. The first segment will cover some background on the American Disabilities Act, Section 508, and the introduction to the W3C Accessibility Guidelines. The second segment will cover W3C's Priority 1 checklist. The third installment will focus on W3C's Priority 2 checklist. The fourth segment will cover W3C's Priority 3 checklist. The fifth installment will look at Flash accessibility, and the final segment will talk about accessibility testing with some of the tools available on the Internet for accessibility testing. Throughout this mini-series, I will be talking with Al Lemieux, senior e-learning developer here at CyberWorks and frequent contributor to the online training content journal blog about e-learning accessibility. Good afternoon, Al.
Hello, Mary Kay.
I'm glad to have you here for this series on e-learning accessibility.
Good to be here.
Okay, let's get started. So, Al, how did all this accessibility stuff get started?
Well, Mary Kay, before the days of the Internet, the ADA was passed and took effect back in 1992. Mm-hmm. With the advent of the Internet and the outgrowth of all the legislation passed to enforce the ADA, the federal government also passed something called Section 508 in 1998.
Okay, Al, what is Section 508?
It requires federal agencies to make their electronic and information technology accessible to people with disabilities. It applies to web applications and any internet technology used by federal agencies. In this category, Section 508 follows the W3C Priority 1 accessibility standards.
Wow, that's a pretty tall order.
Yeah, you bet.
There's a lot of good information out there about the ADA. Here is the official website, www.ada.gov, and for Section 508, the URL is www.section508.gov. So I guess what you're saying is this all leads to a focus on accessibility and the W3C accessibility standards.
Yes, it may become even more important in the years to come, especially with the recent ruling by the federal courts in Target versus the National Federation of the Blind, requiring the Target Corporation to make its e-commerce website accessible to the blind.
Yes, I read about that on the Online Training Content Journal blog. For those of you who don't know, Dave Boggs, the CEO of CyberWorks, authors the Online Training Content Journal blog. It's a great source of information on all things having to do with developing online training content, so check it out sometime.
All right. No one has a crystal ball, so there is no way of knowing if the ruling would be unilaterally applied to a company's online training development in the future. But you can bet that the demand for accessible e-learning will only grow over time, given all the other factors that are happening in the marketplace.
Yes, I agree, but there have been other things going on in the world of accessibility.
Yes, don't forget that back in March of this year, the UK's Disability Rights Commission released the PAS 78 Guide to Good Practice in Commissioning Accessible Websites. Then there are the benefits of better usability, lower bandwidth usage, the ability for people with mobile devices to use your site.
Yes, all that's true. Okay, you've made your point. Let's move on. What does W3C stand for?
W3C stands for the World Wide Web Consortium, an international consortium of companies involved with the Internet and the web. The W3C was founded in 1994 by Tim Berners-Lee from MIT, the Massachusetts Institute of Technology, the original architect of the World Wide Web. The organization's purpose is to develop open standards so that the web evolves in a single direction rather than being splintered among many factions. The W3C is the chief standards body for HTTP and HTML.
All right, then. What are the W3C's content accessibility guidelines?
The W3C Web Content Accessibility Guidelines are a set of parameters, or if you will, best practices, for developing content that is accessible to individuals with disabilities. Of course, in a nutshell, they outline three priorities of accessibility: priority 1, 2, and 3. Priority 1, or as we'll call it, level 1, are the things that must be done in order to satisfy the standard set for priority 1, and is considered the basic requirement for online content accessibility. Level 2, or priority 2, covers the things that should be done. Level 3, or priority 3, are the parameters that are the nice-to-haves when you develop online content. It's like required, better, and then, say, optimal. But there is a big caveat here.
What is that, Al?
It's important to understand that these are guidelines. Just because one may follow the guidelines exactly does not guarantee that online content will work seamlessly with every screen reader or assistive technology on the market.
Okay, Al, let's back up here. What is a screen reader and what is assistive technology?
In this case, the term screen reader refers to a device or software that enables a visually impaired user to read sites on the web. JAWS, which is made by Freedom Scientific for Windows, is one of the most popular screen readers out there, but it is by no means the only one. There are also different types of screen readers or assistive technology devices or software that are used with all kinds of disabilities. In essence, assistive technology, or assisted technology as it is sometimes called, is more often than not specific to a user's specific disability.
So what you're saying here is it's a pretty big moving target.
Precisely. Even if you follow all the best practices, test your content in several different screen readers and assistive technology devices, and usability test it with users that are blind or whatever type of disability you are serving, there are no guarantees that it will work seamlessly every time.
Al, I know you have to run, but I think we've made a good start today talking about e-learning accessibility. Thanks so much for coming today.
It was my pleasure.
All the sites we talk about for this podcast series will be available in the transcript for the respective podcast series episode located at cyberworks.com/e-learning_podcast.htm in the Media Center of the CyberWorks website. Next month, we will be talking about W3C's Priority 1 accessibility checkpoints. Until then, have a great month.
CyberWorks Podcast. Learn anytime, anyplace.